Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We have a wonderful program on tonight. D.M. Williams, no more mega mess, but mega blessings. And this is going to be a part two. Pastor Williams, he's going to bring out some more highlights of his book, and he's also going to give us some insight on some other visions and dreams that he has in reference to the last days. But before we go into the next part of our program, I'm going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for the program that is airing on tonight. We thank you for the word that will be manifested on the night and the revelation that will come forth. We thank you for the prophecies and the dreams that you are revealing to your people on tonight so that they can be strong in you and so that they can seek you and escape a lot of the trouble that's coming on the earth in these last days. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every hindering spirit. We come against every spirit that would try to steal, to kill, and destroy the word of God. We come against every spirit of oppression, every spirit of depression. We come against all foul spirits right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in Jesus' name. And they will hinder none at all on tonight. So, Father God, we thank you for what you are doing on tonight. We thank you for what you have done already. We give you all the honor, the glory, and every bit of the praise. Amen and amen. So at this point, we're going to allow Pastor D.M. Williams to come forth, and he can go forth as he desires in the Lord. All right, Pastor Williams, go ahead.
Amen, amen, amen. I just thank the Lord for this very moment. I thank God for allowing us to come and to be able to present his word, but to come together in worship right now. Wherever you are, wherever you're standing, just start right now just by worshiping the Lord. We thank you, God, right now for this very moment, God. We worship you, Father God. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise, God. You've been so good to us, Father God. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in our life, for allowing us to wake up, Father, and breathe, Father God. Allowing us to wake up and to live on purpose, Father, in you, Father God. We worship you, God, because you've been so good to us, Father God. We just want to give you thanks, Father. But we thank you, Father God, for this wonderful, wonderful tool that you set up through Kingdom of God Ministries, Father God. Thank you, Father, for your obedience through Pastor Montgomery. Thank you, Father God, for the saints that you are raising up during this hour to be obedient to you, Father God. I pray, Father God, that every ear is open, Father. But we worship you, Lord God, and we just thank you, Father, for using us, Father, and decreasing us and you increasing in us, Father God. We worship you. And right now, just worship the Lord, Father God. We thank you. You're magnificent. You're holy. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for life and victory. Thank you for every situation that we have worry or need of, Father, is already met, Father God. Lord, thank you that no distractions can distract us from you. Nothing can stop us from being in your presence. Nothing can stop us from fulfilling our call in our life that you called us before the foundation of the earth. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. It is important to praise. I just want to thank you, Pastor Montgomery, for allowing me to be on here again. And I just thank God so much for what he is doing through this ministry, brother. I thank you very much.
Praise
and
the Lord.
To everyone here, it is time for us to get back into our prayer closet. Me and Pastor Montgomery were talking about this before of the broadcast, but it is time to go back into worship. We can praise God, but it's time to worship God through every area of our life. God is wanting us to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. He was ready for us to be able to really get in him and to be able to live every part of our life in righteousness. And praising him is a great thing. Praising him is giving him thanks. But worshiping him is an action. It's physical living and being in righteousness and making sure every area of our life is supporting and being able to be a representation of him. It's our love to him is in worship. Our growth in him is in worship. And we have to go back to that worship, brother. But I thank God for being here right now. And I just want to tell everybody that during this very hour, yes, we are about to see some dark days ahead. But it's not time to have faint heart. It is time to get closer to the Lord. I repeat, it is time to get closer to the Lord. No more. Don't allow the enemy to steal your joy. Don't allow the enemy to blindside you or make you fearful about the hour at hand or the things that you see in this world. Trust me, God is about to have his way. God is prevailing. He's setting these things up to make sure that he gets the victory. But we must align ourselves to be his children and be live in righteousness. Because the world is trying so hard to get us to live out of righteousness, to make wrong seem right. But God is saying, I want my people, and I want my people that are called by my name, that I want them to be able to come to me and to live in righteousness. We have to live in righteousness, y'all. We have to do it. It is key. I hear in my heart righteousness. It is time for the kingdom and for the saints to live in righteousness, full righteousness. We can't make any excuses for sin anymore. We can't say because of mercy that we can do sin. Mercy is not an excuse to do sin. Mercy is God's love to say, I love you out of your sin so you won't sin anymore. So it's time for us, y'all. It is time for us to live into righteousness. And I know we're going to share there, Brother Montgomery, about the dreams and what is the storm to come. But I just feel in my heart that it is time for the saints to get back into worship. It is time for the saints to get close to God again, brother.
Amen.
It is time for us to be able to get in Him. The only reason that you can hear God, if you can't hear God, you feel like you have a tough time hearing the Lord. It's time for that intimate worship. It's when you get to know someone that you know their voice. When you spend intimate time with them, you know them. When I talk to you on the phone once or twice, I know, okay, that might be him. But when I know when I spend intimate time with the Lord, I know his voice. I know his ways. I know how he sounds. God is ready for us to be intimate with him again so that he can fulfill his relationship in us. It is time, y'all. It is time. Yes. We must do it. We must stop acting like we're going to read our Bible. We must stop acting like we're going to church. We have to do it. It is time for us to get on our knees. Don't look for the steeple. The church is right at your home. It's time for us to get on our knees and praise and worship God. It is time for us to be able to do his will through him, in him, and nothing else. No distractions. It's time because God is wanting to dwell in your home. He's wanting to make your home his home. But we have to repent. We have to remove our flesh out the way and live in righteousness and accept God into our hearts. So we got to stop playing around, y'all. It's time out for playing because God is doing a strategic thing in this hour, and guess what? You are part of it. He wants to use you. You are part of his plan, but you have to be obedient to hear his voice and get in him. Yes, we can praise God, praise his thanks, but God wants worship. God wants intimacy with you. He wants you to get into his word, know him. Know him how he operates. Look at the books of the Bible, the stories of the Bible. Know how he operates in his word so you know him personally. Because guess what? The things that are coming, you can't know God for fake. You can't know God across the street. You got to know God personally to be able to get rid of some of these things that the devil's trying to attack this world with. He's going to give you the keys to unlock heaven. But you first have to have a relationship with him. I said relationship, y'all. Relationship. Personal relationship. It's time to go into worship.
That's right. Well, praise the Lord, Pastor Williams. And I want to say I thank the Lord for all you out there that's listening. I see that we have several people on the switchboard caller, so I want to welcome you all to the program. Now, if you should have any type of questions or anything you'd like to say, feel free to speak. Of course, we really don't want you to try to preach or talk for 15, 20 minutes because we only have so much time. But we welcome you to call in. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor Williams, you can go in.
Yes, sir. But I thank God, brother, for this moment. It's important that we get into worship, y'all. It's important that we don't just know of Christ. We know him personally. Basically, it's funny. Me and Brother Montgomery were talking about before. It's funny that we see all of these strange demonic things happening in this world, and it's getting worse. It's getting majorly worse. But guess what? God is getting ready to show himself even that more. He's about to just turn this world upside down in his glory. But guess who he has to use, y'all? He has to use us, his church, his bride. But he's trying to get us ready. He's preparing us. He's trying to get us ready to live in righteousness, to be obedient to him. And we have to accept that. We have to say, God, we repent from the error of our ways and live a righteous life. It's time for us to do that. And God has given me a specific dream. He gave me another dream, a couple of dreams about this time, but also specifically about what we're to do in righteousness. He gave me another dream about the church. I had one before, and I shared it in a dream with you all previously, and I think I put it on YouTube. And God is saying that he is getting ready to send judgment to the church. At first, God is sending judgment to the world, and I said this in the last broadcast, and God revealed to me right before I was actually on that broadcast, is that God said he's sending a storm in half of the hour representing the year. And what that means is God is sending judgment to this world half of this year. Well, guess what, y'all? It's June 1st. We have just hit half of this year. Judgment is coming very soon. Judgment is not hate. I know what people think about judgment, they think about the wrath of God. No, this is not the wrath of God. This is judgment to correct us. He loves us so much that he's saying, look, y'all, judging is saying that's showing you what's not right for you to correct it. And he's telling the world right now, the ones who don't know him, the ones who do know him, he's saying, look, you know who I am. It's time for you to correct yourself and align yourself into righteousness. The earth groans for us. The earth is groaning for righteousness right now, and it is ready for us to live in righteousness. But we first have to be obedient to see that God is calling on us to live in righteousness and live in that. Another thing that God showed me is that God is sending the judgment for us to correct ourselves. First, the church. Judgment always comes first to the church, as it states in 1 Peter 4:17. We have to remember that, because why? He's wanting to use the church in this final hour to manifest his glory. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to save the souls of the world. The judgment that is coming to the world is not the same as coming to the saints. But this is the important part. If the saints are not obedient, they will experience the same judgment of the world. And that's the whole thing. We have to make sure we're obedient, y'all, because God wants to use us. The judgment that is coming to the church is to awaken us, to get us to recognize him, to repent of our sins, to move us out the way and allow God to head over our lives and over his house again so he can manifest his glory. So when the judgment of the world comes, he can use his saints to be able to save their souls. But I want to get into this dream real quick. There was a dream that God gave me. I was standing on top of the balcony. It was recently. This was about 3 days ago. I was standing on top of a balcony of a church. The church service was over. I was looking over at the church service, and I began daydreaming within the dream. I was thinking about something. It wasn't really of importance. But as I was looking over, I started looking at all the chairs. There was trash everywhere, and that symbolized that people had no more respect for the church. It was trash everywhere, and I began picking up the trash and trying to throw it away. And as I turned, and I had my daughter and my wife with me in the dream, as I turned and I began to reach for my daughter, after picking up the trash, I looked towards the ceiling. All of a sudden, I heard these whistling sounds. It was like a whistling sound of a bomb, and it was coming closer. It was three of them. I just heard a whistle, you know, the whistle, and then another whistle. And then I said, oh, my God, what is that? And God told me, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. 10 seconds later, the three bombs hit the church and shook the church so hard, it shook the foundation off the church. I woke up immediately out of my dream, and I was still shaking. I thought my house was shaking. I was literally shaking out of my sleep. And God said, I'm sending the judgment. The judgment is coming for correction. Why? Because I love my church so much that I need them in this hour to be obedient to me. There's a shaking of the foundation of the church that's about to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's about to happen in this hour. We just hit the half of the hour, y'all. It's to get ready to happen to the church first, for us to be able to get into God and to be used by him. But God is telling me to tell y'all it is time for us to get in order. He was telling me that the bomb was judgment and correction, and that the three was him fully manifested of completeness, that the judgment in all its completeness of God, of God's total being, is coming to judge the church for perfection, because he's ready for his bride. He's ready to be married to that one unit, united bride for Christ to come back to. But we have to first unite, be obedient, repent, and get in him. We have to first do that. And God is saying, when you do that, when you get in me, I can use you. Once you're united, and in righteousness, I will use you powerfully during this hour. And we're going to start seeing the Acts 2 happen. The Acts 2, yes. When he's going to anoint us with the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a new, we have revivals. Every time, me and Pastor Montgomery was talking about this, you'll see revivals every time a new move of God is happening. Why? Because there's a refreshing of the Holy Spirit to anoint the church to do the greater of him in that hour. There's about to be a new revival, about to be a new Holy Spirit that's about to anoint the church right about now. That's about to happen when we live in righteousness, and you're going to see miracles happen. Why? Because we're going to align ourselves from the world's way of what they want the church to be and what we fell into, to the righteousness of God, when he called for us to be in Acts, when he originally made the church and he set us up in the correct way. When we have that happen, we're going to see God come and basically manifest himself through us. And guess what? When I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church body, all of us, the kingdom of God. Because guess what? Everything that you see is going to happen is not going to be within the church building. It's going to be within your home, within the streets, everywhere you are. Because guess what? You're a part of the church. You're the church, y'all. Remember, the church is not the building. The church is you. You're the church. That's just the body that holds the church where you go to fellowship. Remember, the church building is a fellowship building. You come together to fellowship. The Bible says, forsake not the fellowship of the saints. You are the church. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. It's time for us to come together and live in righteousness. How do we do that? We repent for the sins. Number one, see the error of our ways and see that we have not made God the focus of his house. See that we have not made God the focus of our lives, that we try to take control of our life. We try to take control of his church. We have to move ourselves out the way and say, God, we repent, and we have to step back and let God be God in his house, in our life, in our home, everywhere we are, and commit, allow worship to take our life, allow love, the love of Christ, to be able to love others to life, to be able to love others and be able to present salvation. It is time. But first, how can you love others if you don't even understand the love of Christ, the one who loves you the most? You have to understand how much God loves you if he died on the cross for your sins. You have to understand how much he loves you if he rose on the third day so you can be saved. Why? Not just for you, for the whole mankind. We have to let everyone know in this dark hour who Christ is and why he died on the cross for them. We have to let them know about God and the Savior of this world. Why? Because the devil's trying to fight hard. He's trying to pervert the word. He's trying to pervert churches so that people who go to these churches can fall. But God is saying, I'm sending judgment to the church. And if after this judgment comes, if you are not called of God, you will not stand. But for the ones who are called of God and are anointed by God, they will stand, they will prosper, they will be used by God. The Holy Spirit will hit their house, and guess what? God will be manifested. Guess what? We will literally be living in a miracle time. Why? Because God is looking to return. Not to return just to gather the saints. Not to return just to gather the saints and that's it. No, God has a major, bigger plan than us just going to heaven, y'all. He's looking. Mm-hmm. Remember, he sent Christ to save the world. He wants us not to be worried about going to heaven, but to be ministering and presenting salvation to everyone. We sometimes as Christians can get self-centered and thinking, oh, well, I'm saved, so I can go to heaven now. No, you have to present the message of salvation. You have to tell everyone you know about Christ, because you might be saved, but your brother might not even know the Lord. Your brother might be lost in his way, and it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone and be able to minister the word of God. It's time for us to live in righteousness. The people see us, they see God. In our life, they see us, and they see God. We can no longer live in sin and be comfortable. Why? Because as a Christian, as a child of God, you are an example of God wherever you go. You are an example of God. You are the image of God wherever you go. So we have to live in righteousness so the enemy has no power.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor D.M. Williams, you were saying some things. I like that. That's wonderful, because the church needs to realize where we really are in this last day and time. It's not about how you look in a worldly fashion. It's not about that. It is about your relationship with Christ. Now, I want to read something. There's something that you said, that, and it's something that before we started the program, I just got my Bible, I opened it up, and it fell to this scripture. So I'm going to read this. This is Hebrews 12. Now, listen to this. It goes right along with what you just said. Hebrews 12, 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For listen, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye, being wearied, and faint in your minds. Now, the scriptures say, you have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourge every son whom he receiveth. It says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. Now, this is what it says in Hebrews 12 and 8, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So that explains it. That goes right back to what you were saying. And, I mean, the word of God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Same,
so his word doesn't change. It's holiness then, it's holiness now. And that's just it. I mean, that's the one of the reasons that the word Christian came about is because people knew who Christ was, and the people that was following Christ acted like Christ, so they called them Christ-like ones.
Yes.
Christ-like ones, because they acted like Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And that's how we should be now. So, no more mega mess, but mega blessings. I mean, if you're not like Christ, then you're messing.
I'm sorry, you're
messing.
Exactly, yes, sir. And that's what we have to realize is that Christ was sent. God sent Christ because we weren't getting it right. Not only did he send the Savior of the world to save us of our sins, but he sent us a living example. And many people say, well, I'm not supposed to live like. No, that's why one of the reasons why Christ came, because he wanted to give us a living example of how we should be. When Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit, it gives us the power from heaven of God. And we should operate in the same exact things that Christ operated in. That's what we see in Acts. When you read 1, 2, and chapter 3, you start seeing that when the Holy Spirit came in chapter 2, that when they were in the room and they began to speak of different tongues and the Holy Spirit touched them, next thing you know, in chapter 3, they're beginning to heal the sick. They healed the man at the pool. And next you know, that after that, and later on in chapter 2, they were ministering. They started the church, the gathering. People started to join with them, and they start speaking the truth. One thing that must happen during this hour, y'all, is for the ones who got in, what we talked about before, the ones who got into this thing as far as ministering and pastoring for the wrong motive.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It's time to get right. It's not too late. Right now, repent of your sins. Right now, say, God, I want to know what your will is for my life. You might have gotten to pastoring for the wrong motive, but when you go to God and do it right, trust me, he'll give you the plan he has for your life. Because before you can minister God's true word in this hour, ain't no time for play no feel-good messages. In this hour, the only ones who are going to be able to speak the truth are the ones who receive the Holy Spirit and are anointed, because they're going to have the word for the hour. What's about to happen is going to be unexplainable to any other regular message or regular pastor speaking a regular message. If they're not anointed, if they're not blessed or filled with the Holy Spirit and they're praying with God to get a check or whatever ill motive, trust me, they're not going to prosper during this time, because the only one who's going to have the answer is the one that God filled with the Holy Spirit, the people that of God that is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he wants everyone to get into him and to worship him and have a personal relationship with him, because in him is when we receive that Holy Spirit, we can know how the Holy Spirit sounds and God sounds, and we understand what he's saying, and he'll give us the message in this hour. But for the ones who don't know him, for the ones who are playing with God, who are not anointed of the Lord, who are not operating in the right things, trust me, they won't know what to do in this hour. And I saw in a couple of dreams, I shared this with my wife and some other ones, that there's many pastors that are about to go crazy. There are a lot of pastors who are about to lose their mind. Why? Because they didn't get into this thing with the right motive, and God has constantly been having mercy upon mercy upon mercy and telling them to get it right, but they have not. And the ones who do not repent, the things that are about to happen is not going to make sense. The things that are about to happen is going to make folks lose their mind. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't repent, and we don't allow ourselves to come in subjection of God. Mm. Trust me, the things we don't realize how much God protects us from until
That's
the
right.
things happen that we need him to protect us from.
The thing
That's
is,
right.
we have to realize when we're in God, God protects us from so much. But if God lifts our hands for disobedience, we see that every which way the devil tries to attack us. And that's what's going to happen. For the ones who are not obedient during this hour, God will lift his hand. You don't want that to happen. Like I told my wife, I said, God, I want to be obedient to everything you have for us to do. We're not perfect. No, we're not going to be on our P's and Q's. But that's no excuse to try to sin. We live in righteousness,
right.
y'all, and be
that's
in
right.
him. And guess what? When we live in righteousness, he blesses us. He gives you favor. He gives you things right. People say, why am I not living in favor? Why I feel like everything is coming against me? Well, we have to look at our life. Sometimes God does things to you to grow you, to make sure that you grow in him. And some things God tries to get your attention from because you're not living right in the area. So he's trying to say get into righteousness. So we have to be able to discern the two. Say, am I living right in God, or is God testing me to be able to grow in him so that I can be powerful in my due timing? So we have to recognize that and be able to fulfill our purpose in him.
That's right. That is so right. That is so right. Now, it's something that you said that I was thinking about what you said earlier in reference to various pastors and preachers losing their mind. And what I wanted to bring out in reference to that God is such a good and gracious God, and he's so patient with us.
Yes,
that
big time.
A lot of many people don't understand is when these men are exposed, they are exposed specifically because of what you just said. They refuse to repent. They know they're sinning. They know it. They know it, but they continue to willfully sin, and at the time they're willfully sinning, they're preaching to God's people. And what happens when a pastor or a preacher or anybody in a position of authority is willfully sinning and preaching, that same spirit that's in that pastor, okay, is going to come down through the congregation. And you're going to have the same thing that's happening in the congregation because of that preacher is willfully sinning and not repenting.
Say it,
you
brother.
See?
And that's
because God is so gracious. When you have a repentant heart, if you're doing something wrong, okay, and you have a repentant heart, God will not expose you. Because what's going to happen, your heart is repentant, and the Lord is going to take care of that thing.
Yes, sir.
But when you are willfully committing sin and you will not repent, because you have hardened your heart, you will be exposed. And like you said earlier, you're going to lose your mind. Something bad is going to happen to you. Now, I want to read something out of Galatians 3. And listen at this. Galatians 3, 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, what is the truth? The truth is the word of God. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. They say, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, listen at that. Now, that's basically what's happening now. People are departing from the truth of Jesus Christ, and they're preaching and teaching lies, and all kind of bad, evil things is coming upon them because they have hardened their heart against God and refuse to repent. They just refuse to repent. They just refuse to stop doing what they know is wrong. And that goes back to what you were saying about some of these people losing their minds and getting all kind of sicknesses and disease. And it's going to be rough. And God he's not pleased with a lot of this stuff that's going on. He's not.
Exactly.
And he's going to do something about it because he's God. And the reason he's going to do something about it is because so many people are being led astray.
Yes.
So many people are being destroyed. So many people are opening doors for all kinds of oppression and depression and foul spirits because they're not being taught properly.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you even look at the Word of God, you know, what's the difference between Saul and David? You know, when Saul was disobedient, it's like literally he immediately, you know, got killed after that. He killed himself with a sword. David, you know, God took his first child. But the thing is, what happened? Why was it not that serious for David? And the thing is this, Saul never repented. David did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that when we don't repent, God literally lifted his hand off of Saul. And the thing is, he starts seeing his life going to pure turmoil. And that's what happens when we're not obedient. You'll start seeing God lift his hand up off you. Because God loves you. Let me tell you something. It takes a minute. God is not a person who he has mercy. He's not southern. And sometimes we get, as human beings, we want to, God, why do you have so much mercy? We want to see, boom, you know, somebody go down or boom or whatever. But God is saying, I love people. I love people. He wants to see us do things right. He gives us a chance to live in righteousness. He loves us. But when we don't take those chances and he lifts his hand up off of us, you will see the devil try to come in and wreck them alive. But why? Because they have not lived in righteousness, y'all, and God does not want there to be any of us. So now, if there's anything that God is calling you to do, if there's anything that God has told you he wants you to do or changing your life, now is the time to do it. Don't let God's mercy run out and lift his hand upon your life. Do it now. Be obedient now. Don't let it take forever. Do it now. I don't care where you are or who you are. If God told you to change something in your life or something you're not doing right, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's in whatever area, whether it's addiction or something, God is telling you to live right, live in righteousness. Repent. Say, God, forgive me for my sin. But do a 180. Turn away from that sin. Turn away from it. A lot of people say, I confess with my mouth, but they don't believe in their heart. A lot of folks can confess with their mouth and say, God, forgive me, I repent, but they turn to do a 360 instead of a 180 and turn right back to the sin. We can't do that any longer. We can't stand on the pulpit and tell folks you're wrong for your sin, but secretly loving their sin. And there's a saying that I tell my wife all the time. We have to love the person but hate the sin. We can't hate the person and secretly love the sin. That's the thing. We have to love people to life because guess what? This is a person that fell into sin. It could be you. But if we continue to upgrade each other, Galatians talk about we have to upgrade our brother who's fallen. We have to make sure that each person who's fallen into sin, we have to help them. We have to love them. But at the same time, the person has to be willing to forgive, to turn from the sin and give it up to God. We have to be willing to repent. We have to be willing to live in righteousness. God is saying live in righteousness. Live according to his word. Live right, y'all.
That's right. And Pastor Williams, we got several people that has called in. They're listening. So we have a guest call in. Well, you've already called in, so you're on hold. If you have any kind of questions or thoughts or anything of that nature, at this point I'm putting you all live. So if you have a question or opinion, you have opportunity to speak now. Now, it was something when you said that, and I went to 2 Peter 3 and 8. I'm going to read something here. Now, these are familiar verses. A lot of times we memorize familiar verses, but we just memorize them. I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years.
Say it.
And 1,000 years is one day. Now, listen, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay,
yeah.
I'll read this one verse here. Well, one other verse. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, you see there, right there. Now, God is not willing. He's not willing that anybody perishes. But what?
Yeah.
But that all should come to repentance. So, if anyone out there listening perishes, it's not the will of God.
Say it.
The will of God is that you be saved, is that you be delivered, is that you be filled with the Spirit, is that you come to repentance. That's what all this is about. I mean, we're not just talking to hear ourselves talk. Now, we're not just going to the Scripture just to be reading Scripture.
Yeah.
That's not why we're doing. I did not get this Blog Talk Radio just to have a Blog Talk Radio program.
Say it,
the reason all of this is done is for you.
Yes.
To come in to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For you to break the chains of bondage off your life. For you to be set free. Because I'm going to say this. Money cannot buy everything. Okay?
No.
Money cannot buy peace of mind. Okay?
No, it can't.
The money cannot buy health and strength. Money cannot set you free from demonic attacks and demonic oppression and demonic possession. Money can't do that for you. Doctors can't do that for you. Lawyers can't do that for you. Your mother, your father, they can't do that for you. The only being that can set you free from spiritual oppression is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Say it.
That's it. That's
it. That's it. No, that's right. That's it.
Praise the Lord. That's it.
Yes.
So with me saying that, it might be somebody out there that's got something they want to say, or they might want somebody to say a prayer for them or something. Like I said, you're live. So if you have something you want to say, we give you this opportunity to say it. And then if no one has anything to say, Pastor Williams, you can go right on back into this.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. And another thing I want to say, I want to thank all of you out there for tuning in and listening. And we're praying that you get truly, truly blessed, and I know that you are. So I'll say it like this. The sole purpose, this should be the sole purpose of every pastor, every preacher, every evangelist, every apostle, every bishop, everybody out there that's in any position of authority in the body of Christ, the main purpose of their life is for somebody to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what it's about. It's not about how good you look to somebody. It's not about the car you drive or the house you live in. It's not about how big your church is. It's about people being delivered, set free, and saved. That's all it's about. That's why Jesus came to the earth, so that we could be saved, so that we could be set free. That's why. That's why he came.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And we should be witnesses for the Lord.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And well, that's the most important thing. We got to minister. We have to minister God's word. We have to do His will. We have to remember that all of our call, not just the ones who are on the church, as far as the church leadership, as far as ministering inside of a church or on a pulpit, everybody's call. Not just them. Everybody's call is to share this message. Share with everyone else. Share the good message of salvation. Share the word of God with other people and allow God to use us. Because guess what? We should be living tools of God. We should be open beings no matter what, no matter where we are. God can use us as his tool, as his mouthpiece to speak his word. At every time. That's what God wants to do. But we can't do that if we're not constantly in God's ear, if we're not constantly spending time with the Lord and living in righteousness and doing according to what the scriptures say. If we don't read our word and get into our spirit, man, we have nothing to regurgitate. We have to get this word inside of us. So when God sends somebody to us or God puts in somebody's presence, we can minister to them. God can use us and give us and touch us with the Holy Spirit to speak to these people and anoint us to do these things. We have to be obedient in this hour, y'all. There's a dark hour coming. And I want to be able to talk about this hour that's at hand. I want to be able to talk. There's a coming storm that's coming to this world. And this storm that is coming, y'all, is not coming in one form. Many people, when I say storm, they're thinking about just weather. No, that's one part of it. But the storm that is coming is not about weather, just about weather. The storm that is coming is about weather, economics, to do with food and crops. It's also about war around the world. There's a lot of different aspects of this storm that's coming. And what it is, it's going to get the world's attention. You know, the major thing that I've learned is that when a great, I was telling Pastor this, when God wants to get our attention, he uses great calamity. Why? It's the only point where we turn to God. It's the only point. We have no control. When you don't have control, you turn to the one who you know has control, which is God. And it seems that he uses calamity to get our attention. The things that are coming are to get the attention of the world. The things that are coming is to get the Christians' attention, the children of the Most High God's attention first, so that we can turn and we can be able to live in righteousness. So when this calamity hits the world, we can be ready to minister and be able to be a light upon the hill. So we have to make sure, y'all, that we're spending time with God. We have to make sure that we're in him and know his word. God gave me a dream about some of the things that are coming. I had a dream a while back ago that I was walking, and all of a sudden I saw all of these tornadoes, these huge tornadoes. I have had tons of dreams about huge tornadoes, and it's like five to six to seven of them at one time surrounding a county, surrounding a city, and they're constantly causing destruction. They're constantly causing things to happen. And this is a representation of the storm. One time I believe I saw like five. These are the different elements. The number of the tornadoes are the different elements that is going to happen. I can't tell you every element, but the ones I definitely know as far as war, as far as weather, is going to be economical, and it's also going to be with food and crops, things of that nature. That's what, as far as what God revealed to me. There's more. There could be more, but God has shown me those. And what the thing is that's about to come is, it's about to come judgment to the world. But first, going back to the church, y'all, it's time for us to live in righteousness. This is why. God has shown me in the dream, for those dreams about the tornadoes, and he's revealed to me that there is about to come a great collapse of the world. There's about to come a great fall economically again. There's also about to come some kind of, I don't know if it's going to be nuclear. I don't know if it's going to be because of weather change or because of war, somebody sets a bomb off or something, but something is going to disrupt the water source of the world, and the waters of this world is going to be contaminated majorly. That it's going to end up killing people who drink the water, and that's of great importance that we hear God, because during this time of calamity, God will speak to you and give you wisdom on what to do. So it's time for you to hear the Lord. But going back to this, God told me that the waters will be tainted. There will be, I don't know, because of a nuclear bomb or somebody's going to send a bomb to America or something like that, but concerning America, the waters will be tainted, that a lot of the water won't be drinkable. He's also shown me a dream. I was beside a lake. The fishes were very... they had extra, they were all distorted. They had extra limbs. They had super armored shelling. Some of the fish looked very large, and they were not of a normal being. Then I also saw dead bodies in the lake. I saw dead bodies in the river. Everything was contaminating the water. I also saw God showed me that there was going to be great life loss, that many people are going to lose their lives due to whatever's about to happen. And it's not to get you scared. It's for you to get in your prayer closet, y'all. It's not to get you scared. It's for us to get in our prayer closet and gain the wisdom of the Lord to see what he wants us to do in this very hour. But what God also showed me was, is that, of course, we're going to have these great economic, these great storms that are going to hit this world. And he's going to hit in every region, but different times. He showed me that the storms that are coming are not the regular tornadoes or not the regular storms you see, but there are going to get greater with time, and they're also going to be warning signs to the world and to the kingdom that what's about to happen is going to get worse. Before it gets worse, God's going to send, he showed me, like, storms. The storms got stronger. First it was Category 5. Then it was another category. Then the category got worse. So we have to make sure that in the Lord, when we stay in the Lord, y'all, I'm repeating this for a reason, because God wants us to live in righteousness, y'all. He wants us to hear him. Another thing that God showed me about the waters or the nuclear, I had a dream that I was standing at the window, and everything was white. Everything. At first, I thought it was snow. And as I stepped to the window and I looked out, all the trees were laid down, and everything had white dust on it. And there's this dust, like this dust forming off of the ground. I told my wife, look at that. Oh, my God, what's going on? And at first I asked God, I was thinking probably along the measure of seasons being out of whack, having winter and summer and all of that. That's going to happen, but that dream was telling me, God told me that dream means something nuclear is going to happen. It's going to be something nuclear. I don't know. In my mind, we're in Atlanta, so I was thinking about the CDC. God said, no, there's going to be something that hits this nation that's going to be nuclear. Or that starts some type of war or something like that. So it's going to be something due with war or some chemical accident. I keep seeing that. But God told me as well to constantly, right now, for everybody, store up water. Just store up water. If you go by the grocery store, pick up water every time you go and store it up. And be prayerful. Of course, we say our prayers before we eat. But be prayerful. When you drink that glass of water, when you eat your food, be prayerful. Pray about it. If the Lord tell you don't eat something, don't. Although it looks good, it could be a reason why. So don't do it. Don't eat it. Throw it away. Because the things that are coming could affect our food. It could also affect the crops. And the things that we eat become contaminated with things that are not natural to our body, can make us sick.
That's right.
But God also showed me, too, that due to the economical collapse that's about to happen, a lot of things are about to go haywire. You're going to see a lot of riots, a lot of people robbing, stealing, killing, trying to come in and rob things. Number one, I would suggest, anoint your home. We're going to go to the spiritual before we get to the physical. Anoint your home. You take that anointing oil, and you anoint every wall, every beam, every door, everywhere, and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in there and anoint your home to protect your home from the things that are about to happen. And number two, let the Lord lead you on this, but get some form of protection. Get some form of protection to protect you and your family. Because the things that are about to happen, you want to make sure that your family's protected. Yes, you're protected under the blood, but however the Lord leads you, get some form of protection. Another thing that God revealed to me is if you can, constantly, when you go to the store too, stock up on canned foods, things like come in canned, any type of canned foods. If you have a generator or something like that, electrical generator, that we would prefer, you know, it might be more cost effective if you get like a propane one or electric one. Mm-hmm. But if you have a gas generator, any type of generator in case power outages come out, you can have that together as well, and you can be able to power your home. There's also, due to this, what God had shown me is that first, around the world, you're going to see the dollar deplete. That's what's going to make this economical crash happen. It's going to be of currency. The currency, I believe, in Europe is going to fall, and then ours is going to fall right after that. So you're going to see that. Also, you're going to see a lot of, like I said again, riots. Be careful where you go. And in coming days, we might even go into martial law, which means that the military takes over control, and you will have to have a curfew to go outside of your home. You might have to you can't go to different states or different cities. So, with all of these things coming, remember, God has great righteousness. God has great vision. God is there, and he's ready to perform great miracles. And all of this, remember, God is the head. We have to make him the head of our life, because once we live in righteousness, you're going to see that the people of God are going to have so much favor, in this hour. You're going to see the people of God be so prosperous in this hour. This might seem like a dark day for the world, but it's actually going to be a prosperous time for the people of God, because they're going to be the ones who God raises up to use during this hour. So it is important for us as the people of God to get into him. Because guess what? God will give you ideas during this time. God's going to give you visions during this time. God's going to even give you prophecies during this time. That guess what? When you do them, they're going to not make, remember, they're going to make you prosperous, but nothing is for us. If we go back to thinking that when God blesses us, it's for us, we're going to continue to be in the same rut we're in now.
That's
when God blesses you, it's never for you, it's for him. So when he blesses you, it's for the kingdom. So you have to sow it back into the kingdom of God. Remember that, because God, some people are going to be blessed very well during this time, but it's not for them. If they take it for their own, they're going to lose it. God's only going to bless the ones in this hour who he can trust with his resources, because God's about to show some people dreams and visions about what to do in this hour, and when they do it, it's going to bless millions. Why?
Amen.
Because God is looking to bless his people. This is not an hour for his people. The judgment coming to the church is not this. That's something else. God's showing me that's for the church to awaken itself, to fall into his arms, to love him again, to make him the head of the house again. That's not this. This is judgment for the world. When I'm telling you about the storms, this is the judgment for the world. Now, we know the judgment's coming first to the church. God didn't give me the details besides that he's sending a fire to the church. And with the previous dream that I had, that fires were on the churches at different times. The fire was spiritual. It could be even the Holy Spirit coming to test the churches. And if they were not up to par, they vanished. But if they were, they were even stronger. Why? Because God is ready to use his powerful people to bless souls. You're going to see people have miracles done. It won't be in a steeple all the time. In your home, people's limbs will be brought back. Diseases will be healed. Why? It's not for them to say, so-and-so healed me. No,
that's right.
They will know. It's so powerful, they will know that the Almighty God healed them, and they will be able to spread the message. Just like in the book of Acts and the apostles, when they healed someone, they knew that God had to be real. Because even Jesus said, you have to see, he said, y'all have to see miracles in order to believe. When he was healing people. People of the world don't have faith all the time. Some people don't easily have faith to believe in God. They have to see it to believe it. And then during this hour, you're going to see a lot of seeing. Why? Because the devil's going to have his camp try to do demonic things to this world. So he has to show even more greater miracles to show you who God really is. You're going to see God like you never had before. You're going to see a more physical God like you never had before. But it's time for us to stay in that prayer closet, because the Holy Spirit, God is going to visit you in your home. He's going to visit you in your home, y'all, but you have to allow him in. God's going to be knocking at your door, like Revelation 3:20 says. But you have to let him in, because during this hour, he wants to sup with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to dwell in your home and allow miracles to happen. Not for you to go around saying that it's happened, but for God to show himself in your life and to everybody's life around you. Remember, God uses you as a pivotal to be a blessing to others. Why? Because everybody that you bless, other people see. You're a representation of Christ. So when you bless someone, others see it and others believe. Not in you, in God. We are living examples of the most living God. Everything God does is for his glory, not our own. When we start doing self-glory, we go back into the same stage we're in now. God's trying to get us out of self-glory and get his glory. But we have to be obedient.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Williams. See, I like that. I like things like that. See, you preaching, I like that, see. Praise the Lord. And when you were saying that, I thought about something. I thought about what Jesus said before he went back to the right hand of the Father. and Mark, what is it, 16 and 14. And it said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And this is what Jesus said. He said, go ye into all the world, you're familiar with the scripture, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That was the first thing Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, shall follow them that believe.
Yes.
He didn't make any distinction. He says, shall follow them that believe. He says here, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, that's what Pastor Williams was talking about. These things are going to happen in a much greater sense than what they've happened before. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that those things haven't been happening, but they are happening, and they will happen because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, has already been poured out.
Yes.
But what's going to happen, people will begin to allow the Spirit to do what he wants to do.
Exactly.
See, the Spirit, here's the thing about the Lord, and here's the thing about the Spirit of God. He's not going to force his way on you. He's not going to do that. You have to surrender yourself to him and say, have your way. Have your way, Lord, have your way. And when you say that, he'll do it. But I'll tell you something else, too. You can't have your pipe plugged up. Now, what I mean when I say your pipe plugged up, you can't have unrepentant sin in your life and expect the Holy Spirit to move through you. It's not going to happen. Not the way he desires to move.
Exactly.
Now, God wants to do a great work on the earth, but he's going to do it through his people. And he's always done it through his people. From Genesis to Revelation, God has always worked through his people.
Yes.
Read the Bible. It's right there. Look at Moses and Joseph.
Exactly.
You know, all Joshua, Caleb.
Yes.
You know, all David. You know, Samuel. And I can go on and on and on. Look at the apostles, Paul, Peter, James, John. Matthew, Mark, all the apostles, God moved through them. But these men had a definite relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
They had a definite relationship with the Lord. And that's what God wants. God's desire is for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to be manifest on the earth. Now, Jesus already showed us how to do it when he lived.
He showed us
how to do it.
Yes.
How did he do it? By listening and obeying the Father. So it's the same thing we have to do. We have to listen to God, obey God, listen to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, listen to the Spirit, listen to the Word, read the Word, and believe it, and walk in it.
Exactly.
Look, I would say this here. I'm going to say this. The devil doesn't have anything on the Lord.
He doesn't. No.
The devil doesn't have anything on the Lord. None of his demons have anything on the Lord. Nothing.
No.
So what's
Nothing
going on? Well, the shortcoming is in us. Now, it's something that the Lord showed me the other day, and what he showed me was it was like a image of God or the Godhead. And then he showed me an image of the evil one and his kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, when I looked at this, the Lord was super big, and the enemy looked like he was about an inch tall.
Yes.
You know, and when I saw that, that gave me a greater perspective of the power of our Lord. Now, that's what the enemy looked like to God. In other words, he don't have no power against God. He really doesn't have any power against Jesus Christ or the Holy Ghost. Now, he might have some power against us if we believe that. If we're not dedicated and consecrated in the things of God, if we're not sanctified, if we're not filled with the Spirit,
say it.
Then he'll look big to you.
Yes,
but if you
exactly.
see God as he really is, according to the word and according to his Spirit, we won't look at him like that. We'll look at him more like how Jesus looked at him.
Exactly. He's under our feet.
He's under our feet, and we don't have to fear him that way.
Yes.
Because God is our Father.
Exactly.
And his Spirit is in us. And his Spirit, I mean, I say it like this. You cannot imagine the power of the Holy Ghost. You just can't imagine. However you can think of it in your mind as far as hugeness, as far as vastness, as far
yes.
as largeness, as far as anything you can imagine, as far as the Holy Ghost, you can't.
No, you
and
can't
that,
at all.
And that's what the Lord has placed within every believer. That's
yes.
what he's placed within us.
And that's
so
why
the devil really don't have nothing coming unless
exactly.
you give it to him.
Say, and like you said, brother, it's all in belief. The devil is trying, the enemy set up his camp to deceive this world. He's trying to deceive even the believer now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he wants us to fall and not to manifest our true potential in Christ. When you
Amen.
Know who you are, when you know who God called you to be, when you know by God, the one who created you, knows who. When you know who you are and you know what you're supposed to do in this world, and you know that you are great. Every person on this world was made with greatness and a great purpose. And when we get in God, we only fulfill that. A lot of times, I think I talked about this before, a lot of times when people are on these shows, they're not saved and say, I want to know my purpose. I want to know my purpose. I want to know my purpose. You can't find your purpose if the creator doesn't tell you what you're meant to do. The tool don't know its purpose unless the one who invented it tells it what it's supposed to do. We
Amen.
Can only find out who we are in God. And God in this final hour is saying, come to me because I'm going to show you who you are. Not who the world says you are, not who you think you want to be, but who I'm calling you to be. Even if you messed up, don't worry about it. God said, come and repent, and I'm going to show you who you are. I'm going to manifest who I called you to be in this hour. But it causes, we have to make sure that we're in him. We're in God. God just wants us to come to him. And God, he keeps pressing on my heart about Acts 2. And even that chapter explains the hour. Even when he gave them the Holy Spirit and anointed them and gave them utterance, right after that, they automatically had people that thought they were drunk. They said, man, what's going on? These folks must be drunk with wine. God said, no, I'm anointing you. And I've already pre-prophesied about this. Folks, Joel prophesied that this would happen. I want y'all to listen to this. This is the time that we're living in. Acts 2:17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the Holy Spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and my men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I want to start right here. Prophecy, y'all. Many folks think of a prophet. No, there's a difference. There's ones who God calls as a prophet. Their calling is to be able to send correction or to be able to send prophecy for correction, either to leaders or to individuals or to churches. But the gift of prophecy is what God says everybody should desire. That's the gift that God's given to everyone, that he will reveal something to you when you spend time with him. In fact, it could be a dream. It could be God talking to you directly. Everybody has access to the gift of prophecy. I didn't say prophesying. I said prophecy. When you get into the Lord and he reveals something you to speak. But we have too many folks around here now who just want the title instead of being a servant of the Lord and really operating within their true calling. Anybody searches for titles now, and they end up prophesying. They end up trying to get members. They end up trying to do things for ill motives. Remember, y'all, we're going to move from this way of iniquity, this way of sin. We're going to repent and get rid of titles, get rid of our fleshly desires,
and we're going to go after God, and we're going to say, God, we just want to serve you. I don't care about my job. I don't care about no title, no money, nothing of this world, because my home is in heaven. My home is in the Lord. My home is with you, God, and I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to fulfill the call that you called me to do, because guess what? It's not for you. I want to manifest God here on earth. Because when we all operate in our calling, when we all do what we're called to do in our specific places, we manifest the body of Christ. It is time for us to manifest the body of Christ. But it comes through obedience. It comes through righteousness. It comes through reading the word. It comes to us saying, God, I will for you. I live for you. I die. And for you, I will be in living righteousness. It's time for us to do that. Because it is time for God. God is ready to come back, y'all. But he cannot if the church does not unify, if the church does not live in righteousness. So we're going to say, devil, you don't have us. Devil, you don't have the church. Devil, you don't have the power. Our fleshly desires are over. We seek you, Lord. We seek your face. We live in righteousness this hour, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. But I want to go into that second part.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, the blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great day of the awesome of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. During this time, y'all, this is going to be great calamity. There's going to be great things happening. Guess what, though? If you love the Lord, if you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. The Bible says it all over. If you receive him in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Why? Because God wants, like me and Pastor was talking about, all to repent. He wants everyone to repent. And if you don't repent, like Pastor said, you are not in God's will. Because guess what? God's will is for you to be the greater. It's for you to be the child of God that he uses mightily in this world. But if you don't receive it, if you believe the devil's lies, if you believe what he said that you thought you were, then guess what? You've been tricked. You've been bamboozled. But God said, I have a plan for you. And if you receive my plan, if you receive me into your life, I'm knocking at the door. If you answer, I will bless you. I will do mighty works through you. But it's time, church, for us to live in righteousness. It is time for us to receive the Lord and do his will.
Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And now, that's where we are. That's where we are, saints.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yes.
It's time out for the show. We're going to have to put that show away. We're going to have to put that away. We're going to have to stop trying to be like the world, stop trying to look like the world, stop trying to have the things of the world, and start to get what God has for us.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say something. Now, the Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. But what does that basically mean? What that means is that everybody is not going to be a prophet. Everybody is not going to be an apostle. Everybody is not going to be a bishop. Everybody is not going to be a pastor. But one thing that you can be, you can be saved, and you can praise God.
You can put the game in the corner.
Yes.
And you can praise God, and you can live for Christ. You can be a living witness for Jesus Christ. You can be a testimony for the Lord. You can live right. You can have the Holy Spirit moving in and through you, and you can tell other people about Jesus Christ. And everything that Mark said in 16, Mark 16, you can still work miracles in your life. You do not have to be a bishop. You do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to have a church. You don't have to have any kind of title in the Lord, but you can still move. You can still move and be effective in the spirit of the Most High God.
Yes.
You can do that.
And everybody's not called. Everybody's not called to that. This is the thing. Who you are is the most important thing to God, because he designed you for a specific purpose. If everybody's trying to be the pastor, if everybody's trying to be the prophet and the evangelist and all this stuff, and they don't get into God and find out who they are, there's souls waiting on your voice. There's souls waiting to hear the message come out of your mouth. There's souls that are assigned to you. They're waiting for you to hear that great message of salvation come and so they can receive the Lord. There's souls waiting on that. So if you're in the wrong position, if you're trying to be the big bad pastor, but God called you to be in another place, guess what? There's people that are waiting there, that are waiting for the message of the Lord. The people are assigned to you. It's time for us to be obedient. At the end of the day, titles don't matter. I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, God will not say Pastor D.M. Williams. He will say, D'Angelo McKay Williams, welcome to the kingdom of God. He'll say, your name fully, welcome to the kingdom of God. He is not going to say Pastor, Bishop, Apostle, this, that. Those are titles, man-made titles to identify what God has called. But guess what? They are just all servants of the Lord. When we realize that we're servants, we're nothing more than the servant of the Lord. Many people want to be the chiefs. Forget that. Follow God. Be obedient, and he'll promote you. And guess what? The ones who try to promote you on this earth, that's short-lived. But when you're obedient and you're a servant of the Lord, when God promotes you, nobody can tear you down until God says so. It is time for us to live for Christ. That's it. Period. End of story. That's it, y'all. It's time for us to forget titles. Like Pastor just said, it's time. Because why? When we forget ourselves and we get to the glory of God, we're going to be creating glory in every area. That folks, when you walk down the street, folks can feel the anointing. It was the shadow. The shadow, folks, were healed. You got to believe that when God's going to touch you and you live in righteousness and you do the things of the Lord, when he touches you, when you can be walking outside and God lays his hand upon you, you walk by somebody, they're going to be healed. Why? Because God rests himself on you. You make him your temple. You make him the living place to dwell in. And when you do that, God can manifest works everywhere through you. It's time for us to repent and get in here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's all in belief. The Lord revealed something to me one day in reference to miracles and setting people free and casting out foul spirits and all of this. And what he said to me was believe.
Yes.
Believe. That's what he said. Believe. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, there are times when we need to fast and pray, and we need to study our scriptures and things of that nature. We need to do those things.
Sure.
But if you don't believe, then it really doesn't matter too much about your fasting and praying about your
faith. Right.
You've got to believe God. You got to believe the word. And there's something about faith. Faith and works go together, but faith and patience also go together, too. Because if you have faith, it's going to produce you to work towards something because you believe God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So if God tell you to pray for somebody and you have faith, well, guess what? You'll pray for that person. It'll produce that work to pray. Because you believe God is going to honor your prayer because he told you to pray. It's not because you thought about it. He told you to do it. So you do it, and the result is the seed, the manifestation of your prayer. God manifested because God said to do it.
Exactly.
And that, but see, it works on your belief also.
Yes, it does. It does. And he's preparing the saints. That's exactly right, because he's preparing the saints. A lot of folks, when we're talking about this, brother, we were talking about it earlier, a lot of people have not seen these miracles happen. And they will only be able to walk into this power of the Holy Spirit if they allow it. Remember, just like you said, Pastor, is that the Holy Spirit will only come if we allow it. God can use us, but if we can, it's a point when God is using you, and if you allow God to open you up fully and be fully used, it'll happen. But there's times where our flesh can get in the way, brother.
Yes,
that if we don't
let
God allow him to push totally through us, we'll miss the blessing. We won't be fully used. The Holy Spirit doesn't bombard you. You have to accept it. You have to let it in your life in every area. And when God is even using you, and even your belief system has to increase. Why? Because a lot of times when God is using us, the main thing that hinders his manifestation is our belief, like you said. It's our mind. We get shocked and say, I don't believe this. Oh, my God, this can't happen. And next thing you know, the manifestation that you were looking for is not happening. God is getting ready to, well, he's been increasing our faith, but he's trying to get the church to see how much faith that doesn't require. Remember, the Bible says, as much faith as a mustard seed. You know how small a smaller mustard seed is. We keep thinking we have to have this humongous faith. This, oh my God, I just got to believe. God is saying, no, I just want you to simply believe. We're making God overcomplicated. Like you said, brother, if we believe, just when God tells you to do something, there's going to be times during this hour that God may say, lay your hand upon her belly, or lay your hand upon this person so they can be healed. Now, if you allow your mind and the flesh to be able to stop you from doing that and become disobedient, you stop the blessing of the Lord. We cannot do that in this hour. We have to put our flesh in subjection. Yes, how do we do that? By prayer and fasting and spending time with the Lord. We put our flesh in subjection. Because if we don't put our flesh in subjection, we're going to constantly be battling with the enemy. We're going to constantly be battling with our flesh of belief. We have to know that if God said it, like you said, brother, he will do it. We have to make sure that in every area of our life, our faith has increased. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to move God, but it does take faith. Now, if we are constantly battling with our mind, if we constantly are doubting God, we believe in 1 second, then doubt in the next. Trust me, if God told you something back then, and he did it back then, what makes you think he's not going to do it now? The thing is, we have to realize that the days ahead, faith is all that you're going to have. And God, it might be testing your faith now, but I guarantee it's for this hour. Because faith is about to be all that we have. Trust me, there's going to be times you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store because there's no food. There's going to be times you can't drink the water because there's no water. Water's contaminated. There's going to be times that your freedom might be taken away, or you can't go outside like you used to, or you can't go to different places. But your faith, God will give you favor by your faith. If you simply, like Pastor saying, believe. Because if you, when we believe God, when we don't have any doubts, when we stop, doubt is the only thing that programs our mind to stop moving our legs. Faith without works is dead. So if we can get that partiality of the doubt of our mind to stop allowing us to manifest what God's telling us to do, we'll see glorious things happen. But the doubt will cause you to stop and say, maybe this ain't what God said. Maybe this ain't true. And you'll stop it from happening. So we can't do that. We have to bring our flesh into subjection and allow God to always have power over our lives. We do that, y'all, by constantly putting the word in our mouth, staying in his ear. And anytime we feel fleshy desires, run from them and flee to the Lord and fast it out and pray it out and make sure that God constantly is always in our ear. Be careful what you listen to during this hour, y'all. There's a lot of things that are set up by the enemy to try to destroy your belief system. There's a lot of things right now that's trying to destroy your mindset. Music you listen to, the things that you watch, be careful because the enemy's trying to implant seeds so when your faith needs to be activated, you won't believe. If we constantly put seeds of negativity into our mind and constantly put seeds of doubt in our mind, when it's time to harvest the faith, all you're going to have is a harvest of doubt and disbelief. We can't do that. The enemy wants us to fail. You're not going to fail because you're going to believe God. You're going to do the righteous thing to do. You're going to make sure that you're obedient to the Lord. But we have to listen, put things into our mind that are only about the manifestation of God. It's going to encourage our spirit to believe. We have to constantly listen to the right music, constantly watch the right things, and not put any fleshly desires in our hearts. We have to make sure that we're living righteousness by what we watch, what we do, how we speak. You can't speak, you can't say, I believe you, God, but then curse the same thing that God told you to believe in. You have to speak life. You have to be able to speak it first. When you believe it, you got to speak it. Speak that faith thing out. Because when you speak it out and you begin to say it to the situation or the atmosphere, your faith activates it and it manifests. But if you start believing and then let that doubt see happen, guess what happens? It kills the atmosphere. It kills the manifestation of that thing that wants to happen. So we have to make sure at all times there's no seeds being planted. So always have your camp surrounded with positive things of the Lord. So make sure you constantly get the word in you. Positive music, positive things you watch, and don't be careful because some things that seem positive are a trick of the enemy.
They try to get you to watch certain things on TV and certain things that are talking about the spirituality. Don't watch that stuff. The spirituality is not God. Spirituality is a trick of the enemy to make you believe something spiritual that's really demonic behind the scenes. Spirituality is the spirit of demonic forces. You have to know and discern what's God and what's not. The enemy's trying, but I pray the spirit of discernment on you. I pray that God gives you wisdom to see what is not him and what is him to believe. Because now is the time, y'all. Now is the time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And one other thing I would just like to say before I give people opportunity to call in. I see a lot of people holding that might be something they want to say. And our guest call-in number for others that's listening out there who might want to call in is 1-323-375-0849. That's 1-323-375-0849. And to the people that is already online, if they have a question or suggestion or something like that, what I'll do, I'll call some numbers out, or you can hit the number 1, and then I believe we'll know that you're trying to call, but I'll take you, I'll put you on live for the next 4 or 5 minutes. And then you can call or you can speak up and ask your questions or give your opinions. One other thing I wanted to say in reference to faith and what Pastor William was saying is it really doesn't. The same faith that you have for your salvation and to be filled with the Spirit is basically the same faith that you would use for everything else, because faith is faith. You believe to be saved, okay? You believe to be filled with the Spirit. And God has done other things in people's lives out there in which you believe for that. So you have faith and you believe for other things and you hold on to it. Because one thing I would like to say in reference to faith and belief, it's not always overnight. It's not always instantaneous. It might take a while. It's just like a seed. When you plant a seed in the ground, all you gardeners out there, you know this. When you put a seed in the ground, you don't go out there the next day or the next hour and expect a whole plant. You don't. You know it's going to take a while. Some things that you ask the Lord, he'll do it, but it may take a while because it's according to his timetable and not ours.
Yes, yes.
But you still have to exercise what? Faith.
Yes.
Because you want to see the manifestation of it. Now, when you do a study in the Scripture. And everybody through the Scripture that Christ healed and God did something with, it took a while. It didn't happen just overnight. When you read the various miracles that Jesus Christ did, now the miracles that he did were instantaneous. But these people have been suffering with this thing and praying with this thing for a number of years.
Yes.
7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 30 years. Now, I'm not saying that to say that it's going to take that long for you. But I am saying that to say you hold on to whatever you're praying for, and you have faith to believe that God is going to manifest that thing. Don't give up on it.
Don't.
That's faith. Hold on to it. Don't give up on it, and you will see the manifestation of what God has given you.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing, brother, is that faith creates patience.
Yes.
And the thing is that when God is increasing your faith, he's really increasing your patience. Patience to wait on the Lord and patience to have obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he does that, God is trying to get us to be content in him and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
When we get all doubt out of our mind, it don't matter what the devil throw our way, when we have all full faith, there's nothing that can allow us to move out of season. There's nothing that can allow us to deter us from God, because we patiently wait upon the Lord. We have patience to know that God is going to do it in season and not out of season, like the devil is trying to make us do. He always tries to deter you. One thing before making any move in this hour, y'all, pray about it and patiently wait on the Lord.
Don't make hasty decisions. Don't say, okay, I think I heard God, I'm moving. No, make sure that God confirms it to you. Spend time with him and read his word. God was going to confirm it to you in his word. He always going to confirm it. He always going to confirm to you what he says. He don't just say it one time. He says it, you ask him, he'll tell you again. Mm-hmm. Always make sure God confirms what he says to you, because sometimes we can have our fleshly desires put in the way, and the next thing we know, we move out of season. Remember, faith creates patience. When we patiently wait on the Lord, we know when we're content that there's nothing that we need. God supplies all our needs, and that if there's something that we need to do, God is going to tell us.
That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God is awesome. And he is doing some powerful and mighty things in this last day. And he's going to show the world that he is real.
Yes,
he is. He's going to show the world that he's real. He's going to bring the enemy to an open shame, where people will know the difference between God and the enemy, or the devil and demons. Because God's power, he's omnipotent. He has all the power. He's all power.
Yes, he is.
And as we said before, the enemy has no power compared to God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. And to be truthful, if we're full of the Spirit, his power is limited to our flesh.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said? His power is limited to our flesh,
And so
our
right.
mind.
Yes.
That's what he works through. He works through natural, carnal things. That's why he wants you to get involved in natural, carnal things. Because when you get involved in those things, then you're open for him. Then he can attack you.
Yes.
But when you stay in the Spirit and you keep the mind of Christ operating in and through you, then you're strengthening him, and God is with you, and it's much more difficult for him to attack you and be successful in his attacks.
Say it. And remember, the key thing, y'all, when the devil attacks, is not to look at it and run.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand boldly and speak with authority to the enemy during this time. The enemy's going to try to attack you, but you have to speak with authority back to him. You rebuke that devil. You tell him where he should go. Go back to the pits of hell, and you anoint wherever you're standing or wherever you're in, whether it's your home, whether your surroundings, your mind, your thoughts. If the enemy's trying to attack your thoughts, you rebuke him immediately in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately anoint and bless and continue to pray over whatever he's trying to attack. Because the enemy he's trying to attack, if he thinks it's a weakness, he tries to go after it. And you can only strengthen that area by spending time with God and allowing God to strengthen that within you, with whatever area it's in. So we have to make sure that we're constantly having faith, we're constantly having the tools to feed the faith. Because
mm-hmm.
we can have faith all day long, but if we're not in our word, if we're not knowing what Scripture's saying, if we're not spending time with God, that faith will decrease. That faith
mm-hmm.
will start to dwindle.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Simply because we're not strengthening what God is giving us. We're not strengthening the belief in God because we're not putting the word of God in us. When we do that, we're manifesting more faith. When we see what the miracles that God has done in this great book, we can believe in ourselves. We can now see that if God did it for them, I know he's going to do it for me. But if we constantly don't see, we have to stop and take our blessings, y'all, because there's a lot of times where God has blessed us, but we don't stop and think about it and say thank you. We don't stop and praise him. And that causes us later down the line when God is just saying, I want to do a great new thing, and you can't have faith because you forgot what God done for you back then. You didn't remember what God done for you back then, and it's hindering your faith now. Stop in the small things. Don't be looking for no huge, big thing to happen. Thank God for the small things.
Yes.
People laugh at me all the time, Pastor. I was walking, I'll be walking in the store, I found a penny on the ground. Oh, God, I thank you for that penny. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to run across that penny. That penny could have been anywhere else. You know, I might laugh, but it's the small things that
That's
we have
right.
to thank God for. We have to thank God for life. Yes, we have to thank God for breathing. We have to thank God for walking. We have to thank God for being able to turn the doorknob to our door. Thank God for the small things.
Because then when you thank God for the small things, it'll cause you to have contentment in him. No matter how much storms are going on around you, when you think, see God, how much big things, small things God is doing on a big scale, the storm won't mean anything to you. You say, well, look what God's doing for me. Look what I have. Look what God has blessed me with. You might not have all the food in the refrigerator, but you know what? My belly is full. You know, I thank God. You know, I might not have all the money in the world, but I am content in the Lord. I have a roof over my head. I'm blessed in him. I'm healthy. We have to thank God and stop looking for this huge manifestation and missing the blessings of the Lord. And when it's time to have faith, we miss it because we don't see God in the small things.
That's right. It's time. That's right. That's right. It's definitely time. Pastor Williams, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to our guest line here. We got three people here. I'm going to see if they got anything to say. I'm going to start with 678-760-7652. 7652, you're live. Do you have anything you'd like to say, a thought or an opinion?
I just want to say praise and thank you. Thank you for the man of God and yourself, man of God, are coming on and giving the word and speaking the word of God. And it has truly been a blessing. I pray that it has blessed everybody on the line. It has blessed me. It has enlightened me. It has continued to keep my faith strong in the Lord. And I'm just thankful.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're thankful that you're listening in. I just want to give you the opportunity to, you know, give your opinion and give a thought. Thank you. Bless God for you. Continue to listen. I'm going to go to the next call. All right. All right, we're at 323-503-4960. You're live. Do you have a question, thought, or opinion? That's 323-503-4960. You're live now. Hello? 4960? Okay. Well, we're going to go to our next caller then. But bless you. Bless you. Okay, we're at 919-266-1556. Last four digits, 1556. You're live. You got opinion, thought, or question. 1556. Hello? Okay. Well, we want to thank you for listening in, so we're going to go back to our program. All right,
yeah.
Pastor Williams, you got any? Well, you got a lot, so you can just go because I am thoroughly enjoying this, and I'm thankful that God has given you something, but it's all corresponding with the word. And see, and I would say this. When people have visions and dreams and things like this, it's all tethered, it's all hinges on the word. Because I would say this, God is not going to give anybody a vision or a dream that's not corresponding with his word, because it's coming from God. So if it's coming from God, it's got to coincide with the word of God. Now, when you were talking about that water, I immediately thought about wormwood. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, wormwood is mentioned in Revelation, and I'm going to read down through here, and it hit right on what you were saying. You see, now, I'm going to read this. Now, Revelations 8 and 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of ships were destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, listen to this. Now, this was out in the sea. And I heard you say something about the rivers and the lake.
Yeah.
And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
That's God, brother. That's God. And I had read that too. Oh man, amen.
It's the Lord. See, you have a lot of, and I'll say this, but you have a lot of people that's dreaming things and saying things and prophesying things that's not in accordance with the Word of God. And if it's not in accordance with the Word of God, then you need to be mindful of that. You need to pray about that. And some of that stuff you don't even need to accept. You don't need to receive that stuff because it may not be from the Lord. Because the devil, he got false prophets.
Yes,
and
he does.
He can give you some false dreams. He can show false visions. He can do all that, but it's false and it's designed to turn you away from the Lord. Anything that the enemy does, the ultimate design of it is to turn you away from the Lord. And some of the stuff that he gives may seem good, but it's not good. Because it's going to turn you away from God. But some of the things that God does in our lives might not seem good, but it is good because it strengthens you in Christ Jesus. It strengthens your faith. It causes you to rise up in God. It was something, I was reading a book one time, and I'm not saying this that any of this happened to anybody that's listening. And this particular fellow, he was a skier or something, and he was on the slope, and this actually happened. He was on the slope, and he was on the ski slope, and something happened, and he crashed on his skis. He broke his leg. Okay. Now, when he broke his leg, it hurt. He didn't like it. But do you know the time it took for his leg to heal, he became much stronger in God. He learned more of the scripture. God revealed things to him.
Yes.
But if that hadn't happened to him, he wouldn't have gained that spiritual insight and the revelation that God had for him. So even though that his broken leg seemed bad, it was really good.
Yes,
See, because, I mean, we just read it. The various, when we go through storms and tribulations and we hurt a little bit or we get chastised a little bit, that's not to destroy us. It's to make us stronger. That's not to turn us away from God. It's to cause us to get closer to God when God does it. When God does it. Everything that the Lord does is for our betterment, for our strengthening, and for our faith to increase. That's God.
Yes. Say it, brother. And it's for us.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking no more mega mess, but mega blessings. You're not blessed if you got a whole lot of stuff and you're on your way to hell. That's not a blessing. That's not a blessing.
And say
now, you can be blessed and not have a dime because you're on your way to heaven. Now, that's blessing.
Say it. Say it. That's what we're talking about, brother, being content, being content in the Lord. God wants us to be content.
Yeah.
and we have to be because it's important, brother, that when this all thing comes together, when the church as the kingdom of God unites and we live in righteousness, we're going to see the blessing. We're going to see the blessing part. That's why God is saying no more of that mess. It's time for us to get right. And so he can manifest his kingdom here on earth. So
that's
these
right.
things can happen. Because guess what
that's
happens
right.
when we unite, y'all, and we do what we're called to do, and we live in the Lord in righteousness? We make up the body of Christ. So when Christ is on the throne, he's just the head sitting on the body, and he manifests in the full body of Christ. It's time for us to be able to be obedient, and we have to be obedient during this hour. And we can't allow the tickling of the ears of these good messages from anybody, from the world to the church. We have to listen to truth. And as Pastor's saying, everything that you speak, we have to make sure that we don't just believe, but we take it back home and search the scriptures. We take it back home and we verify with God. we verify that what this person is saying to you is God's will or God's way. And God will give you discernment as you stay in him and the more you spend time with him. But for the ones who's kind of new to you, every time somebody gives you a scripture, I've found pastors, Pastor, that they'll say a scripture just to try to make a point. And then God said, no, D'Angelo, go back to my word. And it wasn't there. Literally, I had a pastor say, you know, 1 Samuel 30, it talks about, you know, Saul dying. Then the next chapter, he says the Amalekites killed him. Wait a minute. We go to our word, brother. There is no next chapter. And the Amalekites didn't kill Saul. He killed himself. So what in the world are we listening to? But because we are became lazy Christians, we believe the pastor, it doesn't matter because they can speak what they want to say, and the Christians believe. We have to stop that. I don't care if it comes out of anybody's mouth, the president's mouth, my mouth, the pastor's mouth, your mama's mouth. If you don't verify the truth, you'll believe and fall for anything. But how can you know the truth or see the truth or know it's the truth if you don't first read the truth? You have to get the truth inside of you. I don't care who's preaching to you. If they say it's scripture, verify it. If they say it's in the word, verify it. Because won't be deceived by knowing the truth, y'all.
That's right. That's right. And that's one thing that Jesus said. That was one of the main things that Jesus said of knowing when he was coming back. False apostles. And he said, be not deceived. And he said, because there's going to be many false apostles, there's going to be many people saying that I'm the Lord, many people putting out a bunch of false stuff and stuff that's not true.
Yes.
But Jesus said, don't be deceived. And when you stand the word and you stand God in Christ, you will not be deceived.
Yes,
you won't be.
Exactly. And in that example, I want to correct myself. 1 Samuel 31. So we all can check it and read it for yourself. Because every time we do this, every time we speak God's word, we should have a conviction, y'all. I don't care if God's using you. I don't care if you, where you are and God's telling you to speak something. We have to be accurate. We have to know this word and get it inside of us. And we also, as ministers and pastors, have to stop having pride and not allowing us to say, hey, I messed up on that. Let me fix it. Because the major part is we have so much pride that we lead people astray, and we keep leading them astray because we don't want to get it right.
That's right.
It's time out for that, y'all. It's time to be selfless and stop being selfish. It's time out for that. We have to make our agenda only about God, y'all. When we stop caring about our fleshly desires, we have nothing to care about but God. So don't we just drop those things, desires, and make the desire of our Lord the only one.
Amen. Now, you said it. You said it there, Pastor Williams. You said it. That flesh, see, the carnal mind and our flesh is the biggest hindrance to anything in the Lord. And that's what got us in trouble in the first place.
Yes.
With Adam and Eve, they got to thinking. They shouldn't.
Yes.
They should have just received what God said. They didn't even have to think about that. Because any time you go into a mind battle with the enemy, guess what? You're going to lose.
Say it.
You're going to lose. And you know why you're going to lose? Because you are trying to combat spiritual things with a physical mind. And you can't do that.
You can't.
You cannot defeat anything of the spirit in the flesh. You can't do it. Because you're in two different realms, and the realm of the spirit can only be handled by the spirit of the living God. You cannot go into anything spiritual in your carnal mind.
You can't.
With your physical flesh. The enemy will eat you alive, and that's why he's eating a lot of people alive now.
You're
because they try to deal with him in the flesh.
Say it.
And you can't do it. You cannot do it.
Wrong
you cannot do it. The only way you're going to deal with the enemy is by the Spirit of the living God, because the Spirit of the living God is mightier than him.
Say it.
You don't have any might in yourself. All our power and strength is in the Lord by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, the enemy, he can't do nothing with that, but he
not
can jack you up. He can jack you up without the Spirit of God. Remember the sons of Sceva? Remember them?
Yes, sir.
They got beat down because they come up against the devil in the flesh. They had no relationship with Jesus Christ. They didn't even know the word. But they're going to go in there and try to deal with a demon. And they got tore up.
It's
they got beat down. You can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't do it. But see, that's why we have to. That's why we have to have a relationship with the Lord. That's why we have to have. That's why we have to be full of the Spirit. That's why we have to know our word. And that's why we cannot be deceived.
Yes, we cannot during this hour. The enemy's going to try.
He's going to try.
The more you get that word
inside
you, the word you get, the more you get that word inside of you, the more truth you know to combat his lies. So we have to automatically speak the truth. When you hear the devil say a lie, I don't care if it's in your mind or when you're talking to somebody, immediately correct it with the truth. You know what? And that corrects the atmosphere, so whoever's listening won't believe the lie.
The thing
is, God will put you in situations when you're talking to somebody who's talking about some mess. But as soon as you bring the truth, and as soon as you say the truth about the matter and the true word, guess who's listening? The people around you now hearing the truth. You're spreading the message. People say, why this guy in an argument or combatment with my coworker at work, and it didn't mean anything? Well, who was around you? Who heard the true word y'all was speaking? When they said that the God is not real, and you brought scriptures and you talked to them about the real God and the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think that they were the only person listening? Sometimes God sets us up.
To make sure
that other folks are being ministered to. Certain things that you say, you might not think don't even matter to people, but because you are obedient to say them, you bless their life and the people around you. You never know. Always be obedient and always live in righteousness. You don't know who's looking. A lot of ministers or pastors only think the time to live in righteousness is when they call the pastor. No, it don't matter your title. It don't matter who you are. God wants righteousness through you all at all times. Because guess what? You are a living example. You're about to set up on the hill. So we're going to bring glory to your Father in heaven. So when you do those things, when you do right, guess what? They say, man, if he does right, and look how he's blessed, I want to know that God. But if he say he's a Christian, but he's doing worldly things. You can't combat the world with God. You can't straddle the fence. Or as the Bible says, you can't be go toss to and fro. You can't be one way and try to do another. You can't say I'm with God, and then one minute you're in the world or you're in the club or you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Say I'm a Christian, I speak life, but then you're cussing every 2 seconds at the next sentence. You can't do that. Our life is a living example. We have to make sure that we're living examples of Christ by living in righteousness. We have to make sure.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor William, we only have about 7 minutes left, and I would like for you to close out. One thing I would like to say before I allow you to close it out, that we are presently worshiping at 9050 Bells Ferry Road in Canton, Georgia, 30114. That's Kingdom of God Ministry on Sunday at 11 o'clock. So if there's anyone out there listening who would desire to come out and worship with us on Sunday, we welcome you. Pastor Williams, you can close us out and give them information for your services and whatever other books you have out and some of the other things you're doing. You have the airwaves now, so you can go.
Well, I just thank God for allowing me to even be on here and to be able to have this avenue to minister. I thank God for you, brother. And I just want to say to everyone that now is the time. We've been saying it during the whole broadcast that God is calling for repentance, for us to repent of our sins, and for us to live the right way in righteousness, God's way, what he says in Scripture to live, that we will no longer let the world dictate how we live, but only let God dictate how we live and live the way he wants us to.
And the number one thing that we have to do in this hour, we were discussing the storms. We were discussing things that are about to happen that God revealed. But the thing is, don't be fearful. God just wants our attention. He wants us to repent and get in him. All mm-hmm. God wants to do is show how powerful he is to you. He wants to show that he is God. So anybody who doubted, they know that he's the real God. But right now, if you never received God into your heart, if you never known God, and at this moment you feel a tugging on your heart, you know God is calling you. You know that God wants you, and you know you feel it. I need a relationship with God. I want to know him. Right now, if you're saved or received Christ before, and you've backslidden, you say, oh, man, I was in God, but I fell out. I fell away from the faith because of something that hurt me or anything in my past. Right now, say these words with me, y'all, and we're going to go back to the throne. Go back to the throne of grace. We're going to go back to the throne of God, and we're going to receive him now, and we're going to walk in his kingdom and manifest his glory. Right now, repeat after me. Father God, I love you this day. Father, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Lord God, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, that they may be washed away. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you raised the third day, and I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. And God, I love you and thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Walk with me, God, through my life, through relationship, and through scripture, that I may live for you. Lord God, well, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You've just been saved. You've just been brought back to the kingdom. Anything that's hindered you from God, it's removed right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree that you have no distractions from God. That anything that's trying to stop you from God is destroyed right now in Jesus' name. And right now we pray a blood of protection over them, that the enemy has no power over them.
Yes,
they just came into the kingdom of God. No one performed against them shall prosper. God, you anoint them. You touch them. You walk with them. Angels of protection surround them now. Ministering angels,
yes,
minister to them. When they read their word, open your word. When you read their Bible, show your words to them. Very evident. Give them revelation about your word, Father God, that they can see you in it, they can grow, Father God, and be a mature saint, Father God. Show them right now. Send people in their lives to minister to them, to speak into their life, godly anointed men and women of God, to touch their lives, Father God, that they can't be tossed to or fro, but they can be stand solid in your word, stand solid in you, in the relationship, Father God. The devil don't have them anymore. He's one of yours. They're holy sheep. The wolf can't touch them. Father God, we love you and we thank you, Father God, for them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You've just been accepted into the kingdom of God, and we thank you for that. We just give God all the honor, glory, and praise. I thank God for you. I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for everyone listening today. But the most thing is to apply it, y'all. Let's not just go get off this broadcast and say this was just a great broadcast and do nothing. Let's apply this word that God has set forth, y'all. Let's apply it. Go into our prayer closet. Just write down, take notes, whatever God's doing. Go in your prayer closet. God's going to reveal some things to you. Many folks, we say this all the time, but you got to do it. You got to get in your prayer closet and hear God for yourself. I'm not God. Pastor Montgomery, not God. God want to talk to you for himself to reveal to you. So you don't say, well, Pastor Montgomery or Pastor D.A. Williams said, but you say, God told me, God revealed to me, God confirmed to me what they were saying, because God wants to talk to you on a personal level. So after this broadcast, I ask that you do that. Spend time with the Lord. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for the future great things that this ministry is going to do and the future great thing that all of you listening are going to do. I ask that you go to dmwilliams.org.
Mm-hmm.
And send me messages. There's a contact form on there. Any prayer requests that you have, you can place it on there as well. I have a new book called No More Mega Mess, but Mega Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy it from that website. It's on Amazon. And basically, it's talking about the foundation of the church and what the church needs to do today to become the church that God wants it to be. You can get that on Amazon. You can call me anytime. Hit the contact button. I'll be there. And we'll be able to minister to you. We are about serving God's people. We're about saving souls. Because guess what, y'all? The time is coming, and we need to get in the Lord. God's knocking at your door. It's time to answer. I thank God for you all. You all be blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that basically ends our show. So we thank the Lord for everyone that has listened. Pastor Williams has already closed us out. And we just thank you for listening. We ask that you all get prepared for our next program. Next Friday, we're going to have another wonderful person coming up. Sister Star Parker, she's going to be talking. we're going to put a page out, but we're going to have a Sister Star Parker coming to the program on next Friday, and she's going to be bringing out some things in the government and what's actually happening. So we look forward to hearing from y'all next week. Y'all be blessed, and may the Lord work in y'all's life in a mighty way, in Jesus' name, amen. So that's going to close us out. Bless y'all.
Bless you.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.